In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read verses 1 through 3 and actually studied those the last time. And what we saw is that, like verse 3 says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And what he's talking about is the coming of the day of the Lord when Jesus Christ returns. It's going to be a real surprise to some folks. And one of the things that you know is the more they talk about peace and safety, the closer you are to that time. Somehow or another, as a child, I survived running through the house with scissors. You know? And now everything is all about, it's so safety conscious you can hardly do anything. Not that running through the house with scissors was wise even then, but somehow we survived all that. Yeah? All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 11, talk to us about us being the children of the day. The children of the day. And there are some specific things that you see when you find that you are a child of the day. And we're going to go through this passage again, studying it in its context, and see what children of the day are not, according to what you've seen here, and then what children of the day are to do because of what you've seen here. And then look at it that way. First of all, children of the day, notice what he says there in verse 5, you're children of the light and the children of the day. See that? All right. As children of the day, you are children of light. First part of the verse 5, you are all the children of light, children of the day. What you're going to notice as we go through this study is that the time in which we are living now is a night time, and the world in which we live is dark. So there's something very different about us in that while it's nighttime, it's day for us, and while it's nighttime and dark, it's light for us. And there's a good reason for it. You know what your father is? Who's your father? Who's your father? God. And you know what God is? He's light. Look in 1 John. 1 John is the epistle back there toward the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 1. And look at verses 5 and 6. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is how much darkness? None. No darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Why? You can't have fellowship with him and be in darkness at the same time. It's impossible. All right? So your father is light. Now, Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call them brethren, speaking of us. So Jesus Christ is our brother. What is he? He's light. He's light as well. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 8, verse 12 says that he is the light of the world. All right, look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And look at verse 46. John chapter 12, verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. All right? So we are children of the light, children of the day in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because God, our Father, is light. Jesus, our brother, is light. What about the Word of God? What about the Word of God by which you were born again? What is it? It's light. All right? We're studying 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 5 tells us that we are children of the light and children of the day. We are born again by the Word of God, and that Word is light. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 19. Now, wouldn't it be nice when you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you get your little cup of coffee, God shows up, sits down across from you in your living room and says, okay, here's what I want you to know today. And here's what I want you to do today. And as you go, he just kind of shows up every once in a while when you get off track and says, no, not that way, go this way. Wouldn't that be nice? You know what Peter said? In 2 Peter chapter 1, one day he showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus Christ changed into what he's going to look like when he returns, and he heard God speaking from heaven, who said in verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 1, at the end, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Verse 18, Peter said, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. He said, I want you to know something. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. You know what he said? He said, that's pretty good when God showed up and told us, this is my beloved Son in whom I well pleased. He said, what you got in your hands better than that. More sure word of prophecy. God does show up in your living room and talk to you in the morning. And he does show up as you're along your way and speak to you and guide you. Say, no, none of it this way. You know that in your own life, you've been tempted to do something. About the time you strayed off, something came back that you heard preached out of this word, or something directly from a scripture came back to you, and you went, not the way to go. You got it right here. God, your Father is light. Jesus, your brother is light. The very words by which you were born again is light. That's why you're a child of the day and a child of light. So when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, it was daytime. But he's gone now. So go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and notice this. Since you are children of the day, you are not, first of all, in darkness. Verse 4. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. You're not in darkness. But the world is. And you know that practically. Have you ever seen any of the pictures from the space shuttle in outer space? Is it light like it is out there with the sun shining in our atmosphere, or is it dark? It's dark. When you get to Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light. He wasn't talking about the sun. That doesn't show up till the fourth day. And he divided the light from the darkness. There is a light that is shining continuously, but it's not shining in your universe. So you say, well, how can I not be in darkness if this whole place is in darkness? And that's because you are a child of the day and you have Jesus Christ in you. Look in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, you know, every one of the Gospels starts a different way. And in John chapter 1, when the Gospel of John starts, he starts by telling you that Jesus Christ was the Word in the beginning and he was God. And he says in John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. That's what this world is. And the darkness comprehended it not. Did they understand when Jesus Christ was here that he was God manifest in the flesh? No. As a general rule, they didn't. Every once in a while, somebody figured it out. John records for you in John chapter 9, a man that was blind from his birth. And he said, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And the Pharisees, nobody else around it could get that. Look in John chapter 9. This man was blind from his birth. And the disciples were curious as to why. And Jesus said in verse 3, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Look at verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You see that? So that guy, that blind man, couldn't see. All right, if you're a blind person, as blind as this guy was, what do they say? Blind as a bat. You know what he could not discern? Light. So therefore, he couldn't make out any objects with his eyes. When Jesus Christ healed this man could see. And his darkness was now turned to light. That is a practical picture of what happens to you spiritually when you get saved. You were blind before you got saved. Though you could discern these things, you couldn't discern any spiritual light. And when you received Jesus Christ, the darkness of the spiritual darkness that was in you was dispelled. Boom! The lights came on, and now without eyeballs, you can look up and you see something. What do you see up there? A city, streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, mansion with your name on it, a Savior soon to return, saints gathered around the throne. I mean, you see some things. I was doing a discipleship lesson the other night, and we're now in the book of Genesis. Found out about that great body of water that surrounds the universe and God being on the other side. And one of the folks that we were studying with said, how come nobody's ever seen that? I said, because they're blind. I've seen it. And so have you, recorded in the Scripture. It's more real to you and me, recorded in the Scripture and believed by faith, than if you could fly in a spaceship up there and look at it. All right? You say, well, why is that? There's still people that don't believe we landed on the moon. And they saw those pictures. I knew a lady, and her name was Isabel. She's dead now, but when they'd been showing what it was going to look like with all those simulations, then they got up there and did all that. She goes, they didn't do that. It's just more of the same thing that they were doing before. When Jesus was here, it was day. Now that he's gone, it's night. When he returns, it'll be day here again. And since he's in us, though it's day for us, it's day for us, even though it's nighttime out there. You're in the day. Okay? So a child of the day is not in darkness. The next thing, children of the day are not overtaken. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Children of the day are not overtaken. Verse 4 again. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4. Ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, a thief uses the cover of darkness usually and overtakes you by what means? What's his best? It's a surprise. I mean, if he says, leaves a note on your door, now tomorrow night, it doesn't work. The element of surprise is what he uses in order to succeed. I remember years ago when we lived in Beeville, there was a fellow named Eldo Davis, and he had the donut shop in town. And Eldo had a nice house on Inez Street. He and his wife, Billy Ray, had gone to sleep one night, and he woke up in the middle of the night and noticed that the kitchen light was on, and he thought, well, she must have gotten up, made herself a glass of water, turned the light on, and left it on, forgot to turn it off. So he got up, went over there, turned the kitchen light off, and went back to sleep. Later on, he woke up, now about the normal getting up time, and noticed the kitchen light was back on again. He thought, that is really strange. So he got to looking around, and he had been robbed. And didn't even know it. And I'm going to tell you how good these thieves were. His wife had two strands of pearls on the dresser, one real and one fake. They took the real ones. and left the fakes. They got other jewelry, they got silver. They never even knew that they had been robbed. These guys were good. They were not locals. these guys were pros. There were a series of robberies, and they kept on moving. They were long gone. None of these guys ever found that investigation. You know why they were overtaken? Because it happened at nighttime, and they were totally surprised. You know what's going to happen to this world when Jesus Christ shows up? He's going to come in here as a thief in the night, and it is going to be a total, absolute surprise. We know he's coming. And we're anticipating his arrival. You say, when is he coming? I don't care when he comes, but when he comes, I'll be ready. Doesn't make any difference if it's today or this afternoon or tonight or tomorrow morning or next week or next year or 10 years from now. If I'm still alive, I'm ready. If I die, I'm ready. Why? I'm going to my grave in anticipation of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that I'm coming up. It's just that way. So listen, we already studied the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That Jesus is coming, and we know he's coming. Titus chapter 2, 13 says, that we are to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But the rest of the world, total shock. Let me show you something. Look at this deal in Joel. Joel, you say, Joel? We don't have anybody in church named Joel. No, the book. Joel chapter 2. So you got Ezekiel, that's a big prophet. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 2. And we'll read a little bit of scripture here, but it'll help us because we've got some other things to look at this morning, and you'll see these things here. And look at this surprise. Joel chapter 2, look at verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness. That's interesting. And of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. The kind of darkness is the normal sun and moon that you see aren't shining. Okay? But the day star has arisen. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them. Behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Joel 2:4. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. This is you. The they he's talking about here, that's you. Might as well say, you shall run like mighty men. You shall climb the wall like men of war, and you shall march every one on his ways, and you shall not break your ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. You shall walk every one in his path, and when you fall upon the sword, you shall not be wounded. You shall run to and fro in the city. You shall run upon the wall. You shall climb up upon the houses. Well, this is like the SWAT team. You shall enter in at the windows like a what? Like a thief. The earth shall quake before you. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. That's us. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executed this word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? That thing shows up like a complete surprise. But not to us. Not to the army. You're not going to be overtaken. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You would think, after all the attention that's been given to this, the world would think he's coming. But after the Mayan calendar fiasco and the Harold Camping fiascos and the 88 Reasons and 1988 fiascos and all those other guessing games, people are going to scoff. And when they forget about it, the thief is going to show up. You know, I've always wanted to be a thief. No, we're not going to be a thief. You know what we're going to do? We're coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ for him to take what is rightfully his. That's not a thief. It's like a thief. All right, so children of the day are not in darkness. Children of the day are not overtaken. And thank God, children of the day are not appointed to wrath. Look at verse 9 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The wrath of God is poured out when Jesus Christ returns. You saw that in Joel chapter 2. I mean, he said it's like the Garden of Eden in front of them, and as soon as the army goes by, it's like desolation, burned out behind. So it's going to be really tough. Look in a couple of places. Let's go to the Old Testament, to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. I actually had a preacher one time that was telling people where to turn, and he said, turn to Malachi. Malachi. I know what he had for breakfast. Kolaches. So turn to Malachi chapter 4. Verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, for all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness. Isn't that it? Look how it's spelled. That's Jesus Christ. But you see the day? Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and that that Son is like Jesus Christ, which is as a bridegroom. All right, the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, that is a terrible day. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and then turn one more page if you have to, or excuse me, a couple pages back if you have to. I can't even get my positions right. One more page to 2 Thessalonians and look at chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and look at verses 7 and 8. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. How? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. But you know what that is? That's wrath. And the world has an appointment with that wrath. But he says here, God hath not appointed us to wrath. You know, when I preach and when you witness, people don't like the mention of the word hell. And I don't blame them. I don't get any more pleasure out of saying it than they get out of hearing it. Do you? Very difficult to say to somebody, listen, without Christ, you're going to go to hell. But you know something? In spite of the fact that it's distasteful, it's true. Correct? Better to warn them by saying something to them they don't want to hear and have them turn and be saved so they miss this appointment than to not say it and have them wind up in this condition. Amen? Listen, finding that distasteful is better than being a part of it. And the earth has an appointment with the wrath of God. And I'm going to miss that appointment. And so are you when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's a pretty good deal because you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior in the air conditioning on a cool and acceptable day and miss all that. All right? So those are the things that the children of the day are not. And they're not in darkness. We're not in darkness. We're not overtaken. We're not appointed wrath. But what are we to do then according to this passage of Scripture? The children of the day are to do some things. Well, number one, we're to watch and be sober. Look at verses 6 through 8 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but watch and be sober. Now you say, he said, let us not sleep. Did any of you not sleep last night? Intentionally. Excuse me. There, I have nights like that too. I intended to sleep, just didn't work out. No, we sleep. We sleep when we can. He didn't say don't sleep. Look what he said in verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Now, we don't sleep the same way that they sleep. The world sleeps in the night, is drunken in the night. We're to watch and be awake. Look at some comparisons to what happens to you and me. Then you'll understand this sleeping and drunkenness thing. Turn to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans chapter 13, look at verse 11. Romans 13, 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Okay, then a man that's not saved will walk dishonestly. That's what he does in his sleep. When you walk in the day, you walk honestly because the light's on you. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So the sleep, listen, the world is intoxicated today, and the world is asleep today. You know what's consuming the mind? Listen, this is not a commentary on whether you like basketball or not, or like hockey or not. I'm not making a commentary about that, because you still know the Lord, and you still have your balance. But there are a lot of people right now, the outcome of March Madness is more important to them, you see, than the Bible. And who's going to play in the Stanley Cup, and who's going to win the Masters, and whether or not Tiger's going to win a PGA, that's more important to them right now than the Bible. You may find that entertaining, but it's not more important to you than the Bible. Okay? So what I'm saying is, the world is intoxicated. Intoxicated by its work, intoxicated by its recreation, intoxicated and asleep, and has no idea. You have an idea. And he says, you know what? Don't fall asleep like the rest of the world, and don't become intoxicated. Wake up. The Lord is near. Walk honestly. Don't envy and strife. Don't do these things. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. You'll see it again. So when he says don't sleep, he says not as the world, not as others. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. All right, well, Christ is giving you light. Look at verse 8 and notice what you were. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. When you have the light of God's Word and you know what's going on, then you don't let these things that are putting the world to sleep and intoxicating the world put you to sleep and intoxicate you. Now, let me ask you something. Do you know, let's be a little bit careful with this because, you're not trying to be overly judgmental, but you can observe some things. Do you know or do you think you know some Christians that are asleep right now? Yeah. So do I. And the reason is they're not awake by the truth of the words of God. They're not watching and they're not being sober. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 8. Be what? Sober. Okay. Now, anytime you hear the word sober today, you're thinking not drunk. Okay? Watch. When a man gets drunk, He's no longer in control. The alcohol is in control, right? He says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When a man is filled with the Spirit, he is no longer in control. The Spirit's in control. When a man is sober, what he is not allowed himself to be controlled by something else, like lusts or appetite or alcohol or sin. You see? So he says, be sober, be vigilant. What is a vigilant person? He's watching. At night, when the troops are asleep in the garrison and the sentries are out, they are on watch and they are to be awake. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You think the devil likes you? We're getting ready to teach some soul-winning classes here starting on April the 12th. We've got plans for putting Bibles out and hopefully becoming better at telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the devil has any opposition to that at all. I do. We've been praying for Lenny and Georgiana Shores. Georgiana passed away. And really and truly, that's a reason to praise the Lord, because that cancer was consuming her body. She was comatose, and I talked with Lenny yesterday, and he is very thankful. He's praising God and rejoicing. They had an excellent day together, the last day of her life on this earth. I mean, he sensed that she was dying, so he sent the hospice away, he sent the nurses away. He said, this is no reflection on your care, you're doing a great job. I just want this time alone with my wife. They had 8 hours, just the two of them, until she expired. He said, I want to tell you something. Listen, Georgiana has a fabulous testimony. When she spoke of seeing Jesus Christ, she just radiated with a beautiful joy that you just don't ordinarily see on people's faces. Lenny told me yesterday when we talked, the devil showed up in the middle of all this and was beginning to cause her to doubt her salvation. She would even cry out, I don't want to go to hell. And he said to her, listen, honey, the devil's taking advantage of you in a weakened state of mind and spirit. You're saved, but you've got to stand on God's words. And we cannot let the adversary take your joy. She sat up in bed and she said, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. What Michael said, the Lord rebuke thee. I'm saved and you can't get me. And laid down, and from that day, months ago, till the day she died, she never lost that battle again. Victory. Now let me tell you something. If the devil is going to beat up a saint of God on her way out of this earth who has virtually no more strength to testify or do any work for the Lord Jesus Christ, but just to make her life miserable on the way out, don't you think he's going to get you when you're in your strength? And he says, you're a children of the light, be sober. Pay attention. This stuff is real. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 14. The context of 2 Peter 3:14 is preparation for the coming of the day of the Lord. But look at verse 14, which is in that context. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. You know, one of the great tactics that the devil is using now and that the world is using, which is controlled by him, is sin. I mean, it is rampant. It is everywhere. And the devil is doing everything he possibly can in the world in cooperation to let that sin spot you and blemish you and destroy your testimony. And you know something? When you've been messing with sin in your life, you're not at peace. Right? He says, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Be sober. Okay? Our hearts go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 because of this presence here going on in the world. Look at this in verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, what? Putting on the breastplate of the faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. The helmet to guard your thoughts and your mind. The hope of salvation. The breastplate to guard your heart. Faith and love. Believe what you have here and love the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, just a couple of other things really quickly to finish up. Children of the day are also, in verses 9 and 10, to obtain salvation. You say, well, I'm already saved. How can I obtain salvation? Do you know there's more to come? Hello, saints. There is more to come. Verses 9 and 10, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, thank God, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake, those are those that are alive when he comes, or sleep, those are they that are dead when he gets here, should live together with him. So any loved ones you have that have already passed, you're going to be together with them, and they're going to be together with you. Jesus Christ told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But whether we wake or sleep, we're going to be together with him. But there's more to obtain. More of the salvation. Listen, you already have the Holy Spirit. You already have Jesus Christ indwelling. You already have eternal life. But there's more to come. You're going to get a glorified body just like Jesus Christ. I like that. I don't know about you, but I'm at the age now where something I wish would never happen has begun. I'm in pain. Continuously. I don't want to live like that for eternity. We're going to get a glorified body. You're going to get a mansion. You're going to get time in heaven. You're going to get a body that will travel at the speed of light or faster. Listen, you are going to get sinless perfection. There's a lot more to come. What we have right now is good, but you're going to get better. So you're going to obtain that. There's more to say about that, but we'll wrap it up here. And then he says, with all that in verse 11, do two things. Verse 11, comfort yourselves together. And verse 11, edify one another. You know why you should be comforted? Because these truths are indeed comforting. When Lenny and I were talking yesterday, he was just having a great time. We were visiting. He was, you know, talking about Georgiana and their last days together and some things like that. And I said, Lenny, do you realize the grave won't win? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? It's a lost cause. The devil didn't get her when he tried, couldn't, and the grave won't hold her. Man, he was going, woo, glory to God, hallelujah, on the other side. I said, the last breath that she breathed on this earth was followed by the first breath of heavenly air. And he was just shouting. He was so happy. You know what that is? We can be comforted by these words. And edified, that is, strengthened and unified as children together in a very dark world. Turn with me, last place we'll turn for this, Ephesians chapter 4. And read with me verses 11 through 16. Just look at this very carefully and then we'll close. You are children of the day. You and I have something together that the world will never have unless a lost person in the world gets saved and joins this. And we are to edify one another with this. Verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4. He gave, these are gifts that Jesus Christ gave, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So, and I'm a gift. Why? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Here's that word again, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. See, the devil tries to break up what should be unified. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, what? Unto the edifying of itself in love. I've heard people say, you know what, bless God, I can just worship God on my tractor while I'm baling hay every Sunday. I don't need to go to church. And you know what I say to him? You're a fool. I know you can worship God on a tractor or in a deer blind or in a Corvette. I know you can, but you can't supply what every joint is supplying in the effectual working in the measure of every part, compacted it together and joined together, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love, unless you get together like we are. And he says, edify one another with these words. You know what? As we get closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be getting closer to each other. Keeps us strong. Amen? Keeps us strong. All right, children of the day, let's pray. Father, we're sure thankful today to be able to see from the Scripture what you say about what we are. And I pray, Father, that our light will shine as children of the day. Ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.